chapter 28 and verse 18. If you want to open your Bible this morning, what should give you joy should be the word of God. I mean, to read it every time. Some people, the only thing that gives them joy is money. And that shows that they will never find joy. Because money is numbers. Right? Money is a number. And number does not have an end. So if your joy is based on money, on numbers, it means you will never find it. Right? And so what should give you joy is that which is eternal. That which is from God. Anybody can see money and see a lot and smile and say, hey, God in way. The question is, when life situations comes at you, do you still maintain your joy? Hallelujah. You say, what should give you joy every time should be God's word. I mean, if you want to learn God's word, and she say, yes, it's another time to know God. And so Matthew 28 verse 18. We started something on Thursday, and we'll just continue because of our power switches. And we titled it what? Miracles, ministering and receiving it, right? So we're teaching in the lines of miracles, how to receive miracle, how to receive a miracle. I have received miracles. Well, I am still, I will still, hallelujah. Is that the same thing for you? You know, I know how to receive miracles. Some people don't believe in miracles. How can you not believe in miracles but you believe in God? You know, when you come to them and you say, so, said something about, maybe about something, I don't know. And then she died. Or probably said, she said she was going to die. And then she died. And you see people go, our God. Powerful God. I've never seen someone like him. Right? And they say, oh, there's an accident. They say, Jesus. To a shit. Something like that. To a shit means, I don't know. Just something, I don't know. It doesn't make sense. God is powerful. You saw an accident and you say God is powerful. And then someone comes to you and say, God can heal your sickness. And you say, or they say, that sickness was healed in that church. And you say, all these churches, this. Only God knows that there are 7 minutes. You have chosen to believe a wrong thing about God. He is a miracle working God. You know that song, right? He is a miracle working God. And so you don't just sing that song when Super Eagles is playing Brazil. it must be your everyday anthem. That you know that God is actually a miracle working God. I don't know whatever miracle you want, but you ought to believe in miracles. I believe in miracles. I believe in miracles because I believe in God. So Matthew 18, Jesus said, he came and spoke unto them saying, this is the Bible, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Then he says, go ye therefore, teach all nations. Verse 20 says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Look at that. Verse 19 says, you go and teach all nations, that is. You go and make disciples. We said the word is to make disciples of nations. And so, that is the primary plan of God for your life. The Christian, anyone who is called a Christian was born with a purpose already. When you are looking for another purpose outside this, you are looking to walk in the darkness. There is a purpose for every Christian. He says, you go and teach all nations. Every of God's other plan for your life will rightly sit in this purpose. So I say, I want to know what God wants me to do with my life. Have you started preaching? Because the first thing God will want you to do with your life is to preach the gospel. You must not be a Christian because your rent, you know that you have to pay your rent one day. And so you are just a Christian so that your bills can be paid every time. You are a Christian because the day you fall sick, which God will now save me? If I now fall sick, which God will save me? Which God? Should I go for Allah? Muhammad, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
Or should I go for this Jesus? He appears to have more power. And then you go, and you're just a Christian so that you can feel forms. That's not Christianity. Christianity is to receive the life of God. And it ought to resonate through the things you do. And that means the preaching of the gospel is the first indication that you are a true disciple of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then we're seeing your miracles, don't worry. So, verse 18 says, heaven and earth, that's God's plan, right? And it was fulfilled in Christ. Heaven and earth was fulfilled in Christ. He said, all power is given to me in heaven and the earth. We explained that on Thursday, right? Heaven and earth will now refer to God and man, right? The supernatural and the natural in one place, right? And so in Christ we find the supernatural with the divinity, right? The divine, right? Come on, in Christ we find the divine and also we find human, right? We find humanity. And so Jesus becomes the meeting point for divinity and humanity. The supernatural and the natural met in one place. And so, you call that the heaven and the earth. The heaven and the earth. And that was God's plan from the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, he now says, you go and preach that heaven and earth. You go preach that heaven and earth. Verse 20. Matthew 28, 20. Look at the Bible now. It says, teaching them to observe whatsoever I have commanded you. What did he command them? He's about to say it. He says, look, that's the word lo, oraho. Look, I am with you, always. Even to the end of the world. We just sang it in that song. You will be right inside me, right? And so, if he says, if Jesus said, I am with you, where is he? In your bedroom. In your cupboard. When you open your cupboard, I just sing him. Jesus, I didn't know I was looking for you in the kitchen. This is not my idea. Your food is on the table. No, right? Come on. Aha. So where is he with us? In your bag? This is the anointing oil is the Holy Ghost mysteriously packaged. And so, if your anointing oil is your Holy Ghost, that means you bought your Holy Ghost from Imala. No, I'm not actually going against anyone. But if your anointing oil is your Holy Ghost, you bought your Holy Ghost and you put your Holy Ghost in your bag, and if your bag falls inside the gutter, the Holy Ghost fell inside the gutter. That takes something for you to say that. And then, when your Holy Ghost finishes, you buy another Holy Ghost. You can even get promo on the Holy Ghost. They advertise the Holy Ghost. Right? Right? You go to the supermarket and you take the Holy Ghost off the shelf. Do you think at all? Hallelujah! You take your Holy Ghost off the shelf. You say, I don't want this Holy Ghost. What to reduce? You be another Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is called the Spirit of God. Spirits don't reduce. And spirits don't finish. And you can put spirit in your heart. Hallelujah. So the Spirit of God dwells in my heart. That's where he is. The Spirit of God lives in me. Hallelujah. And so when Jesus said, I am with you, the first reckoning is that he is in you. I remember that old song. He lives in me. He's in me. It is Christ that lives in me. Right? It is no longer I that liveth. You know that song? But Christ that lives. So he lives in me. You ought to quit every form of idol worship. Taking a bottle and I recall when we were younger. I'm still very young. When we were much younger, I'm talking about probably secondary school, which is quite a long time ago. You know, there was a cross. Someone stole the cross in front of our house. Jesus that we put. How can you see Jesus that we put in front of the house? He stole Jesus. And so, I hit my mom, and I put chalk. And I used chalk to do cross. There was a cross there. So, and I used chalk to do cross. I kept wondering to myself, this one, there's no Jesus on this one now. And so I drew Jesus. Someone was dying. What's the point? You know, sometimes you just have that idolatry. It's not like a babalawo. We hang something on his doorpost. No, I'm not saying that your church sticker is not good. I'm not saying it's not good. You can put your church sticker for identification. Some people, JW, should unlock for your door. And by the time you see, stay away, JW. Hallelujah. I didn't mention anybody.
GW could be anything, right? Right? If you come at him. Come and tell me personally. You know, there's nothing wrong with the sticker, but the moment you think that sticker is the Christ in you, something is wrong already. Jesus did not promise that he will stay in the bottle. He didn't promise us that he will come to us in an handkerchief. He told us he will come to us in the Spirit. And so, you must always reckon with the fact that the Spirit of God lives in you. It must form a stronghold. And it is the basis of Christianity. It's the ABC of Christianity. The reason why many people will speak of their pastor in the middle of the night, is because you yourself you have lost the reality and the trust that you have the Spirit of God. You actually should be able to withstand any demon, any demonic appearance. Why would a demon come to you face to face? That's some boldness on his part already. Are you crazy? I mean, I didn't even come to the UK. I won't call anybody. Why would you call anybody? You deserve some punishment. Hallelujah. You ought to be supernaturally conscious every time. The believer has the Spirit of God. How can you with the Spirit of God? You are now running away from a demon. What people spirit? But when I get open, inside all the 9 gifts of the Holy Ghost. You all of them, you don't need to call. Hello, sir. Pray for us. It's demon in the house. The fact that you even know that it's a demon should make you cast it out. Hallelujah. And so I have power. Some of you are already looking at me saying, don't talk about demon. Let's let the sleeping dog lie. The devil is not a sleeping dog. If you don't go to him, he will come to you. It's not a curse. So. I'll say to you. If you don't go to him, he will come to you. Bible says he's like a roaring lion. That's not something like a sleeping dog, right? He said he's going up. So even if you are saying it, you let it lie. He will say, I'm not lying. I want to come. And so you must always be prepared. You can listen to our teaching, casting out demons. Hallelujah. These are realities of Christianity. It's not something you grow to be. It's not something you pray to be. We see the role of prayer. It's not, casting out demon is not, you pray and fast. I mean, that's some respect for the demon. You pray and fast for a demon to cast out the demon. You're respecting demon too much. I got one village outreach we went to like that other time. And someone said, why are we even praying and fasting? I didn't demon that power. I said, we are not praying for the demons. We are praying for ourselves to minister. And the ministry is not in the casting out of demons. I just tell him while on the bed. So the ministry is not for the casting out of demons. The prayer is not for the casting out of demons. It's for men to receive the gospel. I say, I thought it was for the demons. So you have been fasting all these days for the demons. They know. Hallelujah. And so Christ lives in me. Hallelujah. I thought you said that loud. Christ lives in me. You find out in John 14:20, he says, at that day, which is on the resurrection, you will know. John 14:20. I am in you. I'm in the Father, and I in you, and you in me. You know, there's identification. Christ now lives in everybody that has believed the gospel. Hallelujah. Look at Mark 16. Mark 16. Want to go? And he said unto them, go into all the world, and what? Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They will speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And they will drink any deadly thing. If they drink any deadly thing, shall not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick. And they will come. You must always read these signs again and ask, are they following me? You know, say, Christian, say, they are following you. I say, yeah, I know. Yeah, you don't know what that means. I say, signs and wonders, right? You know, sometimes you think following you is probably a curse. No, they are following me. He says, these signs will follow them. And he mentions it. Before you think the signs that will follow believers is that they will dress in suits. And anybody you see in suit today is a pastor. Once you see someone in suit, with tie. Pastor. Yeah, I know, Sahali Kwasala. What is it? Assalamu alaikum. Yeah. I thought you are a pastor. No.
Truth is not the signs that will follow believers.
Hallelujah.
He says, they will speak with tongues. So, you ask yourself that. Let's see that today. He says, they will cast out devils. I know you might have spoken in tongues before. What about casting out devils?
Say, I've not done that one before.
But you can. He says, they will lay their hands on the sick and the sick would recover. I want to do that more. Hallelujah. I mean, you find someone who is sick and you say, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And he's old and he's fine. How about that? How many of you want that? You know, some Christians act like pharmacists. I'm sorry, they're pharmacists. Or nurse. You know, you're sick. Move on. One of our patients even had that. Use a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory drug. Have you? And he said, just use ibuprofen. You can't get ibuprofen. Tell them to give. That's your low key. Christian! The person that came to you should actually have a touch of the power of God. And what about, let's pray together. Even if you are going to give him drug, pray together at least. Hallelujah! I'm not against drugs. Let me just say that before you. I think we should not use drugs. I've prayed for sick people before. And I asked, the drip is not coming. Why is it not dropping? Yes. I said, doctor, what did you put here? He says, okay. Shubha. No, I do not say that. I'm not praying for you. I said, yeah, the drip. I recall. I will tell this story. One of my guys removed drip all the time. Maybe third level, no. Maybe second level, no. Baba said he doesn't know where he went to say. The next thing just said is, Ebafisi. How will you remove drip? Hallelujah. The doctors are not working against God. Hallelujah. It's just one possessed. Alright, so, it says these signs will follow them. They will heal the sick. And so, it ought to be something you do. They will heal the sick. They will cast out devils. They will take up serpents. Now, we've explained that before. You don't go and look for a cobra. No. I will take up serpents. It will not hurt me. Yeah. We've explained taking up serpents before, right? What teaching is that? Shake of the beast. Right? Uh-huh. Let's go and listen to that. Alright, so, the signs will follow. The word sign means something that points to another. Have you seen a signboard before, right? Huh? The signboard is not the place. If you see a signboard, they are not telling you that, is it Glorious House Church? You're not going to stay there. I say, I'm waiting for the pastor here. And the banner downstairs. I'm waiting. Why are they not here? Why are they not praying? It's 6 o'clock now. No, it's a sign. I mean, it's pointing to something else. And so it says, these signs will follow those who believe. That means the signs are not the message, but they are pointing to the message. Because the message is in view. You already said in verse 15, go and preach. The message is actually the power. The signs are signs of the power. So when I heal the healing of the sick is not actually the power as it were. It's a sign of the real power. We'll see that much more now. I'll say it again. He says, these signs will follow those who believe. What are the signs? The signs of the power of God will follow those that believe. Why? Because they would have it, right? They'll be saved, verse 16. Those who believe will be baptized and they'll be saved, right? Those who believe not will be damned. That says, these signs of that power will follow those that believe. Is it making sense? They would, in my name, cast out devils, they will speak with new tongues. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, the gospel is actually the power of God. Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel. For it is what? It is the power of God unto salvation. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. I am not ashamed of the power of God. 1 Corinthians 2:4. My preaching and teaching was not with the what? Enticing words of man's wisdom. But in the what? The demonstration of what? Of the Spirit and what? Power. The demonstration of the Spirit and power is called the gospel. As I said it with my speech. So my speech is the power. The gospel is actually the real power of God. I said again, the gospel, that message that you just said, believe the gospel, that is the power of God. Hallelujah. I ask. See the way Paul explains it. He starts by saying, I will have to pray for you to understand this. Now he says, I see those who give thanks for you, make me answer my prayers. Ephesians 1:16. And the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom, and revelation in knowledge of him, right? That's of the sun and lighting, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, the wisdom of his glory, of his inheritance in the saints, right? And the exceeding, verse 19, the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. That's Ephesians 1:19. That's what we're reading. The exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ. He's explaining what happened at salvation. Listen, that is which he wrought in Christ. When he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand, never leave, right? Power above all what? Principality and what? And power and might and everything that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And has put it under his feet and given him to be head over all things, even over the church, right? Even his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Chapter 2, verse 1. And you are it quickened. So he's explaining that, see, this is what happened to you. That's why I said, I'm praying that you see this. Chapter 2, verse 1. That's it. And you are it quickened. Who are once what? Dead in what? In your trespasses. Come. To the cause of this war, according to the praise of the power of the spirit are now watching the children of disobedience. Had our conversation in time past. Children of wrath. But God. Sit together in heavenly. Guys, verse 7. By grace are you. So he's explaining salvation. See the way he said it. He said, the power that took Jesus away from the grave now also quickened you. He didn't just quicken you, he now made you sit in the same place. You are now where he is. That word of Jesus in John 14, where I am, there you also be, is now fulfilled in you. So he's explaining salvation. He said, salvation itself was by power. The exceeding greatness of his power. Ephesians 1:19. And so, salvation is actually the power of God. At salvation, the power of God was wrought in man. Let me say this. The greatest miracle you ever see is a man being saved. The greatest miracle ever is not that blind eyes opening or layman is walking. Someone who has not had a child for 35 years is now having a child at the age of 90. That's cool. But the greatest miracle is the one that affected the spirit of a man. Because the greatest sickness is sin. So the greatest healing will be salvation. Hallelujah. So sometimes we trivialize it. And just see a man say, and say, you are saved. That's the miracle of God. Every other miracle aspires to be like that miracle. That's the miracle every other miracle is pointing to. When you heal the sick like this, and someone probably had a lump in the breast or whatever, you know, or cancer. Every other miracle is pointing to this miracle. Isaiah explains it. Isaiah 53. No, bodies are healed because sins are healed. Isaiah 53. Tell you something. Isaiah 53 verse 3. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. As we eat, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and esteemed, and we esteemed him not. Can we verse 4 to 5 together? Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was cast upon him. With his stripes, we are healed. Again, that verse 5 is talking about the same thing. It's just an emphatic statement. Wounded, bruised, his stripes, they are expressions of the sacrifice of Jesus. He said he was wounded for transgression. He was bruised for iniquity. And by his stripes we are healed. Again, so his stripes will also be for our what? If he was wounded for our transgression, he was bruised for our iniquity, his stripes will also be for our what? For our iniquities. And so that healing, by his stripes we are healed, we go what? Healed from sin. By his stripes we are healed from that nature of death. This is the way Paul explains his ministry in Acts 26:18. He says, to turn their eyes from the power of darkness to light. Right? From the power of Satan unto God. So that's what the gospel did to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, by his stripes we were healed. Healed will be healed from sin. Okay, see, an epistolic. That's just epistolic. Okay, that's the way the epistles were explained. First Peter 2. Peter now quoted this place, but explained it better. First Peter 2. So by his stripes we actually healed from our iniquities. First Peter 2 verse 22. We read verse 22 to 25. Where to go? Who did no sin? Neither was any guile found in his mouth. I'm waiting for you. First Peter 2, 23 now. Where to go? Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. But he committed unto himself what? To judge righteously. Verse 24. We himself bear our sins in his own body on the tree. That we, being dead to sin, should live by whose stripes? Verse 25. For you are what? A sheep going astray, but now return. So, Peter's by stripes you are healed. It's clear. Right? This is the way he started in verse 24. He bore our sins. On that tree, by his stripes we are healed. And so, healing in the natural, when I heal a sickness, is actually a pointer to the great healing of salvation. That makes sense. When sicknesses are healed, when bodies are healed in the natural, is actually to point to what Jesus did to sin. That because he actually can heal the body, then he can heal from sin. Again, the greatest miracle would be what? Salvation. Because that's a rescue from sin. So let's go ahead. So if that is it, that means if salvation is also a miracle, right? That we are seeing now, right? Come on, is salvation a miracle? That means the Christian journey or the Christian life started with a miracle. So miracles cannot be what would be alien to you. Some Christians have seen miracles, but they have never walked anyone. So if that is you, that's not to be condescending or to say anything about you because you are not dead. Right? Right? I expect that you say yes. Are you dead? Because you are not dead, right? And so that means you can still work miracles. So I believe in miracles. Strongly. Strongly. No. Actually, I believe in miracles. I'm not making a confession. No. I believe strongly in miracles. I have seen many. I have seen it well, and I will rot more. Hallelujah. I actually believe it. When the Bible says you will lay your hands on the sick and they will recover, I actually believe that. I actually believe it. I know some people just read it and they don't believe it. I believe it. I believe it, and that's why I see it, and I will see more. When it says you actually can raise the dead, I actually believe that. I believe it well. I have seen it in the book of Acts. I will see it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, the Christian is not a stranger to miracles. You must always stay at the cutting edge of the supernatural. Always. Always. You must always stay at the cutting edge of the supernatural. You know, there's nothing wrong with visiting a friend. And you both are actually singing psalms. I have very weird people. I mean, there's nothing wrong with visiting a friend. I'm going to greet you. And you go there. And say, I have a psalm for you. You know, it should not sound strange among your friends. I need to imagine your friend in your head. As he gets there, say, most of the bird knows, say, your friend was like that. Is it PM who came to watch you? you won't do it, you're not in your church. That's not a good friend. What is he telling? He said, he's just being real. No. He's just being carnal. That's being carnal. That's not being real. The Christian must not have an issue with the things of the Spirit. Because sometimes, Sometimes we call it spirikoko. There are that too spirikoko. It's to kanakoko. Okana. Kanakoko. And you will not know until the devil comes for you. That's why you will not be looking for a prophet about that mountain, that valley. Say there's one bush. He said, you can't go and pray there. It's covered that will bless you one day. Prayer that you could have done in your room, Jeje. It's when trouble comes, you're now going to bush, from bush to bush, mountain to mountain. Every camp in Nigeria, you have visited. You have bought comb, you have bought oil, you have bought handkerchief, you have bought water, you have bought stone. Officially, oh, leave that one. Hallelujah. Anything, you say, that is, your own man cannot pray. Praise God. And so, the supernatural must be your daily experience. It's not strange to go to a friend, and then, you know, he said, can we just sing psalms? I have a psalm in my heart.
Yeah. What is going to say? Psalm in your heart.
I mean, there's a song about the spirit. If you say that among your friends and it looks weird, something is wrong. You need to teach them. Hallelujah.
I remember my first year in the University of Lagos. As I got to that room, I was the first person to get to the room, so I already took my own bunk space, you know. And so as they were resuming, I told them, I said, I'm a Christian. In fact, my name, I said, I'm a Christian. I'm born again in spirit field. Ah. The one that was bunk with, he has already put his bed on the top of my bunk. Papa just took it. Just took it away. I said, you're not saying that again. He said, no, I actually like the other side. I said, I'm spirit field. How about you? Ah. Just tell your name. I said, no, my name is Yemi, but I'm actually spirit filled. I eat the sick. Now, I was coming from a very crazy place. Crazy place where when you're just praying, nobody knows you. Someone else will just come to you and say, we'll pray with you 2 hours and they will leave you. I'm going to join another person. And you will never see again. That's where I was coming from. So, I didn't know Lagos was that godless. And so, I never told him that spirit filled. Just took his bed away. Hallelujah. I mean, it should be your consciousness. You used to go to room to room, and yourself, preach. Well, of course, that almost got me into trouble one time. He stole the phone in one room. Now they go and call that pastor. I can pastor. I mean, they didn't have any other suspect. They said me. And so, when they take us to Alpha Base, you know Alpha Base if you're a University of Lagos student. So, when they take us to Alpha Base, I said, me, I will get to Alpha Base. And so, I have to use the things of the Spirit to find out the better than ticket. I said, give me 5 hours. So, I went to chapel. I prayed for 4 hours. I came back to show them again. I came back. Thank God. I came back to Shudan. I was speaking in tongues on that floor. What's wrong? These pastors are still fooling. They're not speaking in tongues now. They are not going to fall. I'm very sure that was in their mind. And so I just said that to myself, why did you take the phone? I mean, that was the closest friend of the person that owned the phone. The person that owned the phone, I said, are you mad? What? Well, this is my friend. And this is my friend. We have been looking for you together. And you took the phone. Why? I would give you to tell me you took the phone. Otherwise, I would do something that you won't like. I was not going to do anything really. I would do something that you don't like. And I brought it. One. This is it. And it worked out. If I said, don't work out, stop. I said, am I free now? No alpha base. Yeah, pastor, you can go. You know, you ought to be at the cutting edge of the supernatural. Now, that might not sound spectacular, but to me, I didn't want to go to the police station. Come on. How do you hear that? They have come to visit me after. Hallelujah. So I'm supernatural. And so, you must want it. You must love what God does. You must want it. Don't let this world squeeze you into its own pattern. It's godless pattern. Like an hopeless child. You feel a symptom in your body. You're shivering, and there's nothing you can do. You're now thinking, who's against me? Christian! Who's against you? You put God's word in your mouth. That's the time to act on the word. Hallelujah. Don't let this world squeeze you into its pattern.
Praise God.
So, you must know there's a joy. There's a joy in seeing someone healed. Have you seen someone healed before?
Eh? Have you seen it before?
Have you seen the joy before?
I mean, I can't feel it all. I've seen it before. Many times. Say, I can't keep it again.
Don't tell me to press. Say, I need to pray when I press this place. It's just here. I can't feel it again.
And it's just the power of God, you know. It's what we do.
Hallelujah. You know, it's sweet as you say when you are prayed.
He says, it's what we do. It's a sign that follows. It's a sign. What joy.
Alright, so miracles can also be for preaching. Mark 16:20. Now says, the Lord was with them, confirming the word with signs and wonders. Mark 16:20. The Lord was also walking with them, confirming the word with signs and wonders. That means, as we preach and teach, we actually can have miracles. It's one of the recipes of the preaching of the gospel. Miracles. I mean, physical demonstration of God's power. Can people be saved without miracles? I mean, physical demonstrations? Yes. In Acts 17, when Paul went to Berea to preach, right? Many people actually got saved. Those of you that call yourself Berea Christian, there's nothing like Berea Christian. They were not Christians, right? Paul preached to them. They were searching whether those things were so. That doesn't sound like a Christian. After they now came back. They now got saved. But not all of them. There's a Berea Christian church. I've seen that church before. Berean Christian church. They were not Christians. It was after Paul now preached to them that they were now Christians. Is it making sense? Eh? Don't mix things up. But of course, there was no signs and wonders. Paul just taught rigorously. He just taught them and they believed. But can there be signs and wonders and people will not believe? Eh? Yes. Look at Acts 3. When Peter saw that man at the beautiful gate, at the temple, in Acts 3, he now said, silver and gold I have none. But what I have, I will give to you. In the name of Jesus, right? One walk. And the man started leaping, right? Peter took him by the hand and silenced him. Peter now preached. Acts 4:4. Bible now says 5,000 men were saved. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 men were saved. In Acts 4:4, 5,000, about 5,000 were saved. Why? There was a miracle in view. And so, miracles also can serve as a signpost to the gospel. I mean, as we preach and teach, we actually can have miracles. I have miracles. I didn't hear that word. Say, I have miracles. Yeah. 5,000. So, in both ways, the believer ought to, it can be both ways rather. The believer ought to always stay at the cutting edge of the power gift. Why is it the power gift that we are emphasizing on? Right? You know, the power gifts are quite spectacular. I'm not saying they're the most supernatural, but they are quite spectacular. It will take, right? Okay. To an unbeliever, listen very well, everybody. To an unbeliever, who has not saved, who is not a Christian. Which one do you think will make him believe more? When he speaks in tongues, or when he heals his blind sister? Eh? Nobody even argue that, right? They are speaking in tongues, look at this, Like, he doesn't even speak a rubbish language. Eh? Alright, so, the power gifts are spectacular. We only can do the Holy Ghost. We can ring the bell of the miraculous on the street. I mean, people can actually gather around you because you heal the sick. You know you can do it. You know, if I'm saying to some of you, you are still not, heal the sick. You actually can do it. Say, I can heal the sick. I can heal the sick. I can heal the sick. God's power is at work in me. My hands are the hands of Jesus. You actually can heal the sick. You actually should put your faith. You have said it. So you act on the word. You act on the word. And so, we actually can preach and have sicknesses healed. Because the hands of the Lord is mighty upon your life. Yes? The hands of the Lord is mighty upon your life. You know? When you encounter sicknesses, that marks the end of that sickness. You know, people can know you for healing. They know some people for gossip. They know some people to be Chelsea fans. You know, people can know you for healing. They say, just invite him to your house. You know, your cousins can actually receive God's power from you. Some of you, your cousins, the only thing they know you for is Jesus. Or only weddings. That's what I see. How about there's a sickness
And then you are the one they call.
Hallelujah.
That's a supernatural life. That's the life I want.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. So, we must know how to receive and minister miracles. On Thursday, we have to establish a very vital fact. That is, that miracles will work by which law? Eh? Which law? The law of faith. Who's an engineer here? Well, you know, by what law does a car work? Eh? Newton's law. He has three laws, I remember. There's one inertia, right? That's an object we continue to remain at rest. Have you? No, you can learn. You can learn from this one, right? Which will remain at rest until it's acted upon by the, at least, this chair will remain here until something is done to it. Right? That's a law. There's another law. There are three laws, have you? And so, whatever a car is working on is based on those three laws. Or more. I know there's a thermodynamic or something. Forgotten. But there are laws. For example, an aircraft is working based on a law. When they are building it and they are putting together its parts, they are working based on law. You think the wing of an aeroplane is just fashion? Cut the wing, man, and let it be going. That wing is actually part. Is that one of the things that is making it stable? That's who that is. Eh? Don't you think it's just passion? Then when I'm going to beat my own, I won't put the wing. Okay. I'm a dandy right here. You won't put the wing. And so, life is based on laws. And there's a law called the law of faith. That is how faith works. We see this Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 10. That what? You what? You believe in your heart, right, that Jesus is Lord, right, and you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, right? You believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead, and you confess with your mouth, Romans chapter 10, verse 9 to 10. You believe in your heart. Say believe. And I didn't hear that very well. Say believe. So you believe in your heart, and you what? The law of faith is that simple. It's that simple. So, that is how every man got saved. He believes with the heart, and he now confesses with the mouth. That is the law of faith. And miracles work by faith. Praise God. Praise God. So how do I now receive miracles? We saw Jesus' example in Mark 11. Let's go back there. Mark 11. Verse 19. Please look at your Bible. It's going to be very vital. Mark 11, 19. Want to go? And when the evening was come, he went out of the city. And on the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. Verse 22. Jesus answered and said unto them, what? Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he said, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says. Verse 22 says, have faith in God. We may explain that have faith in God. Because have faith in God sounds like God will do it, right? Like, believe in God, right? But that's not what Jesus is talking about, because it's not God that's going to do the miracle. In verse 23, he now tells you that, whosoever shall say to this mountain, that means, I am the one that will say something to the mountain. So, whose faith? My faith, right? But he's saying, have the God kind of faith. That is, this is the faith of God. You will say to the mountain. You will say to the mountain. Be removed and be cast into the sea. And you now what? Believe that those things you said will come to pass. He says, you will have what you say. It is the law of faith. Mark 11, 23. You will say it and you will believe it. And so faith, listen very well. Faith is what you believe and what you what? Eh? And what you say. So I must believe it and I must say it. Don't say, what if I believe it alone? That's not faith. What if I say it alone? That's not faith. Faith is, I will believe it and I will say it. Because the mountain cannot see your heart. The mountain will only respond to what? Eh? Your words. He didn't say, don't say there's no mountain. I've seen believers before. He said, how are you? He said, I'm strong. He's actually not feeling fine. That is a stupid thing to say. I'm strong. I know it's in the passage of positive speaking. That's not it. He said, I'm strong. No. There's a way to use your words. How about there's this edict? Why I'm healed. That's better. Then I am strong is, this is what I want, and this is what I'm saying. You are not strong, actually. Right? And so, you don't get comfortable with that thing and say, I'm strong. That's not it. Don't say there's no mountain. Mm-mm. Say, you will now speak to the mountain. He said, don't say there's no mountain. That's how one of our friends was telling us that he has gotten admission. For 2 years, he was telling me that I was going to admission. I didn't see him in school. I didn't see him. Said, don't worry. You both say now, a little continue. He's not continuing. Where is your hosting? Which department? Which faculty? Later we asked what he was saying, was faking it. Whatever that means, you are lying. How about, I don't have it, but, or I've not gotten it yet, but I'm believing in God. And I'll have it. How about that? That's more trustworthy and honest. You will say to the mountain. Many a times, believers know what the word of God says. But they look at other people's experiences. You're sick in the body. And you're shivering. And you know what the word of God says. That you actually can be healed. But you now remember someone that is more spiritual than you. I say, ah. And that's the sickness that killed you. You believe something else in your heart, when you are saying something else, that is not faith. Are you listening to me this morning? Eh? If you want a miracle, the first thing you need to do is to believe that there's a miracle. The next thing to do is to say what you want. You must learn to use your words well. Faith and fear are in words. They are in words. How did Jesus know that his disciples did not have faith? That they were full of fear when they were stormed. They said, are you going to let us die? Said, Jesus, you are sleeping. You get up. Are you going to let us die? Say, oh, you have little faith. You don't have faith. Faithless generation. Hallelujah. Faith is in words. That woman who had the issue of blood. She said, if I can touch the hem of his garment. So that means she believes something in her heart. The first thing she has believed is that she can actually be healed. Right? Right? Come on, you listen to me. She believed that she can actually be healed. Then she now proposed, this is how I will be healed. That's taking care of the mountain. I will touch the hem of his garment. And when I touch it, I will be healed. And she didn't just say, she now went ahead to do it. Right? She now touched. Those of people just sit and they wait for pity. Pity is yet to make anybody victorious. People will pity you and that will be the end. Pity does not make people victorious. You must act on the word. That's how miracles are received. You put God's word in your mouth. It could be provision. You want something and you are saying something else. You want a job. Imagine someone that wants a job. And I say, this country is a job. These are someone who will always be. But what you want is a job. Why are your words different? In the natural, we believe that when you sow a seed, what you will reap? The same seed, right? When you sow corn, what will you reap? Huh? You know, if you sow corn and you start reaping wheat, someone else planted wheat, right? I believe you just did the supernatural. I sow apple. Okay, we can sow apple. I sow tomato. And as it was just growing, I'm just hearing orange. Wow. You know, you will say God is powerful, right? What will you say? Someone sold orange on this land. Right? But we believe that in natural. But in the super, when it comes to things of the spirit, you don't believe words are actually your seeds. In the parable of the sower, I call the seeds the word. Words are actually seeds. Seeds. Whatever you sow is what you will reap. If you sow bad words, that's why parents should not curse their children. After growing up to an extent, of course, I'm not telling my dad. So stop that. You say something like,
Father, don't talk to my own younger brother, my younger sister like that. Yeah, you're my child. No. Don't talk like that. Of course, I could not say it as years ago. I would have chopped my own. But now, I'll just tell him, don't say that. Say that. That's a bad thing to say. As a pastor, as a God. Don't do that. You want to repeat everything you did. I'm corrected. Don't do that. Don't do that again. Words are powerful. You look at your child, say, oh Lord, you don't know anything. Then he comes back with the report card and he gets 22 out of 23. He's that position. In class, 22 out of 23. You did, you don't know anything. You are the one. See what you are saying. How will you know anything when you say he doesn't know anything? You are the father, you are the mother. Hallelujah. You use your words. You tailor your words to fit the power of God. You tailor your words to fit what you want. He says you will look at the mountain and you will speak to the mountain. He didn't say you talk about the mountain. That's how many people when they complain. Talk about the mountain. I don't even know. I don't even know this country. I don't know. What is Pashola doing? What is somebody doing? It's not put there. It's a person. I don't even know. What kind of country is this? Why did you come here? After that, what has now happened to your life? You know, things don't change when you complain. After saying all of that, now, what happened? Why not put God's word in your mouth? I'm favored always. How about that? Good things come my way. How about that? You know, people just help me every time. How about that? I'm blessed and blessed and blessed. How about that? You must use your words. It's the law of faith. As a matter of principle, when I feel any pain in my body, the first thing I say is, God's power is at work in me, effecting a healing and a cure. And I just forget about it. I mean, it's as though I'm speaking to the pain. Sometimes I visualize it. I know this is the pain, okay. But God's power is at work. I'm that kind of word. I can just say, in me for him. In me. In me, the spirit. You know? It's just a consciousness. Me. In me, the power of God is working here. No, rather than some people, this pain. They say there's pain in this side. It's kidney failure. And so you go to Google. Pain, lower tummy. Right lower tummy. I guess Google knows it, this word. Start from Geo. Pain lower tummy. Thoracolumbar area to the left. Can be a sign of chronic kidney failure, appendicitis. To the right, appendicitis. Then you colon cancer. Kilaberi. Colon cancer. You know, they don't use over-the-counter drugs as it can cause more inflammation. You could have who stayed with the power in the first place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I trust the power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You say to the mountain. In fact, you give direction to the mountain, they'll be cast into the sea. This is where I want you to go. Hallelujah. Look, God's power is at work in me. You must know how to receive miracles. You must know it. It's not just sufficient to believe it. You must know how to receive it. Your words receive miracles. Look at Mary in Luke chapter 1. After the angel came and told her, I said, you are the Son of the Most High, right? You know? I know. And she said, she asked the question. She said, how can these things be? Seeing that I know not a man. And the angel said, don't worry. The power of the Lord will overshadow you. And what was her response? She said, be it unto me according to your word. How to receive a miracle. She said, be it unto me. That is, I will have this thing that you said. Just what you have said now. I will have it. Look, see, I believe in miracles is not faith. The rest of them, I believe in miracles. I believe in miracle. Miracle. I believe in miracle. That's not faith. Faith is what you now believe. Say it now. Has your tongue be tight? What's the miracle? Okay, I need my hands to be healed. Say it. And to so, you are healed of such. You are healed of so. Is it making sense? Not that I believe in miracle. I just believe. I have faith. I just have faith. What do you have the faith for? You speak to the mountain. And so faith will be in the heart and in the mouth.
Faith will be in the heart and in the mouth. You will say to the mountain, but you must believe what you say. In the healing of the sick, you can't just be laying hands on someone and say, be healed. And in your heart, you have actually seen the person, you just want to get out of that place. And you are actually wondering why the person was not healed. You disobeyed the law of faith. It's a law. It works. Hallelujah. Praise God. Faith is a conviction. That means there's something I will believe. It's not stereotyped. Listen very well. It's not stereotyped. It's not like what Sister Dora did for our own faith. It's what I would do. For example, I used to have issues with my eyesight. I'm not talking about small issues like this. Not so simple. I mean, I cannot look at the sun. Not look at the sun directly. I cannot enter sun without the glasses. It was terrible. The lens is thicker than but I had to be using rope with it because it's quite expensive. So it's not a glass you can want to break. You know. And I used for a while. No, but after encountering the faith message, and then sometimes I even preach with it. Yeah, and you look weird and say, glory to God. Glory to God. You know, some of you don't imagine me there, right? Nice glasses, nice frames. I think I have one picture of it. I won't show you. You know? And that day I was inside. And with glasses and all, I was still feeling pain. I said, what's the point? Mark 11:23, you say to the mountain, you remove and be cast into the sea. And you believe what you say, you have what you say. Then if this is true, then I took the glasses and I broke it. Now, breaking it means about 2 weeks to get a new one. And so I was ready for the long gone. I knew I was healed. And so I just broke it. Broke it, crushed it, flushed it. It's not something that you can put together later and say, that's super deep. And that was just it till now. Hallelujah. Now, your faith, listen very well, your faith might not be to break the glasses. And that's what many people say, copy. So what did you do in your own? You broke the glasses. You broke it. I'll break mine. Let me get one. Just like copy faith. You stop using drug, Gabby. You don't eat it. You stop it. You say, you can't throw the drug away. You're not faint at night. It is what you believe. It is what you believe. All the time, bro, again, as his ministry to the spirit, he will tell them, you know, continue to use your drugs. Maybe you should actually continue to use their drugs. What you are now having for will be feeling. That is, as you use your drugs, it will work. Not everybody uses drugs and get well. Or you don't know. And so, it has to be your conviction. Not everybody now went ahead touching Jesus' faith about now. Yeah, I'll just touch. Let me just touch. No. What do you believe? What you believe is what you now say and do. Is it making sense? It's a conviction. The fact that someone stops using the glasses doesn't mean you should stop. You actually can continue using glasses and you put God's word in your mouth if that's what you believe. That someone stops using the drugs doesn't mean you should stop. You actually can continue using the drug and just believe that. Can you change your time yourself? Some miracles take time. Some 18 months, some 10 months. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But never allow the mountain in your way. Since you talk to the mountain, speak to the mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. He says, if you believe that, you will have what you say. I believe in miracles, hallelujah, and I will have them, hallelujah. Stop waiting for God to do the miracle. Pray for me, Lord. Stop waiting for God to do the miracle. We've seen that the miracle is in your mouth. Don't want it, and what you are confessing is death. The husband lost his job. And the wife is already coming. These are how we are going to end our lives. After you have spent money on the wedding. It's funny that people spend money on wedding. It's funny. Just like birthday. Just one day in a year. Then you spend all your money. Next day, you now start looking. You know, yesterday was my birthday. Happy belated birthday. But next year. How did I get here? Put God's word in your mouth. Hallelujah. Put God's word in your mouth. The miracle is in your mouth. God's power, God's law, it comes in the faith of God. Remember in Genesis, everything God made, he made by what? speaking. I was, and God said, let there be light. And God said, let us make man in our image. Everything God wanted to make, He created them by speaking. Yours cannot be different. The way you will receive your miracle is with your heart and with your mouth. Many Christians don't know how to receive miracles because they don't know how to talk. They don't know how to vocalize their faith. You ought to vocalize your faith. Look at Mary. She said, be it unto me according to your word. Sometimes, also the way to receive a miracle is persistence. Look at that woman who had a daughter sick. And she came to Jesus. And she said, I want to give the food of the children to dogs. That's enough to put anybody away. And she said, this one, who is he? She said, even the dogs can still take from the bread. Just said, I have not seen a great faith like this in Israel. Where's the faith? Her words were persistent. She was consistent with her words. She was consistent with her words. This healing or nothing. This healing or nothing. This provision or nothing. Don't believe God today and then you stop speaking the same thing tomorrow. And you're wondering why it doesn't happen. Or why it does not happen. Today you're saying, I'm mute. Tomorrow you say, life is short. YOLO. Actually, you die once. Hallelujah. In the real sense, we live every day. Alright. But be consistent with your words. Look at that time in Luke when Jesus was teaching and some people had to bring a sick person through the roof in Luke chapter 5. Jesus said, your faith is what made you whole. Their faith was in their persistence. You must put that word in your heart. You must have a conviction. And that conviction must be rock solid. Then you put it in your mouth. And you keep saying it. You keep saying it. You keep talking it. Is that clear? Keep talking it. Keep saying it. You put those words on your lips. How about my needs are met and my bills are paid? And you know, you go up on. You go be. My needs are met. That's a better way, right? And I say, it will be. That's hugging the mountain. Hugging the mountain. So you say to the mountain, the castle. I can't see your heart. Look at anybody. You can't see their heart now. Can you see that? So how will I know that you have faith? By what you say. Faith is in the heart. And faith is in the mouth. You must first have a conviction. And then you put that conviction in your mouth. Is that clear? Most people think that miracles are a response to prayer. That's not true. That's not true. That's why you see many people go for vigils and vigils and vigils and vigils and vigils and vigils. And after going for 85 vigils, their lives will still not change. Because their words did not change. Doramole means you just be rolling on the floor, put your body, smacking your body on the floor, go smack down, and after doing everything, you get to. And the first after the BG. The first thing is, see who my life has scattered. That's, nothing is going to happen. You're just going to keep praying. Prayer is like water. Let me just put this very kind of illustration. It's like water. If I water a ground that there's no seed in it, is anything going to grow? Eh? No. You put the seed first. You put the word first. Then you can now pray. miracles are in your mouth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If a Christian can use his words well, then he can receive miracles. Abraham changed his name to Abraham. And in the space of a year, he had Isaac. Abraham means that's A-B-R-A-M. It means an assumed father. That is like a street father. You just assume that you're a father. Then he changed it to father of many nations, Abraham. And in the space of a year, he had Isaac. Just put God's word on your lips. Rather than complain, rather than murmur, no, just boycott all of that and act on the word. That pain, don't see it as a death sentence. See it as a chance to prove and display the power of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You must have absolute confidence in the word. Don't start seeing the experiences of other people. They are not the world. Are you listening to me? Don't start looking at one pastor somewhere that something happened to. He's not God. You look at the word of God and you must put your bottom dollar on the word. That okay? That means you have placed your bottom dollar. The very last thing you are, your total trust on the word. I can count on the word. I won't count people's experiences. I won't count what people have said. Say, once you have this kind of pain, this is this sickness. There's only three people that have it in the world. You. And then you look at the person's face and say, but God's power is at work in me, and healing is mine. And I'll come back to you and tell you about the sickness. And you do my testimony. Healing is man. God's power is man. Look at Mary. She received the word. What you have to do is to take the word of God and accept it as yours. I'll say it again. You take the word of God and you accept it as yours. This is man. He said, be it unto me according to your word. Be it unto me according to your word. It's the thing. If you want to receive miracles and minister the same freely, you must use your word. You must accept God's word for what it is. Irrespective of the mountain, irrespective of what you're seeing, I stand on the word. The word of God is my reality. The word of God is what I see. You know, people will come to you and say, let's just be real. The word of God is what is real to me. That's the real thing to me, the word of God. Someone came to me one time and said something. We're actually talking about something. And he said, even us. I said, don't put me with you. Even us. I said, don't put me with you. I'm not in that class. This is what happened to me. He said, let's be real. He said, the word of God is real to me, and you're not God. Today, that's the pastors. I will talk about it. The word of God is what is written. Learn to accept God's word as yours. As I close, you must learn to put God's word in your mouth and say, it's a work of faith. Learn to reject anything that is other than what the word of God says. Anything that is apart from what the word of God says, reject it. I'm not saying you go about the streets and you go for bigger, for bigger, for bigger, for bigger. The way you reject it, you say what you want. Quit talking about the mountain. And talk to the mountain. Talk to the mountain. Talk to the mountain. I've woken up at night before and I will just walk in the compound. Hear me if you can have yes. If you have yes. Which everything actually has yes. I recall Pastor Peter actually when I preached something like that years ago. The sound code. Everything has yes. Everything has yes. Or what do you think when Jesus told the storm? Be still. And it went down. Everything has yes. The fig tree, he said, be dried up. And it dried up. You think it doesn't? Yes. Everything God created responds to the word of God. Everything that you see responds to the word of God. If you say it's long enough, you will have it. Whether good or bad. You should not postpone it. But find a man that says it every day that I have time. But some people say wrong things and nothing happens to them. Right? Some people have been saying wrong things. They've been saying, they've been saying, and nothing happens to them. It's just like saying, someone violated the law and has not been caught by the police. He'll be caught one day. Right? It's because those that will catch him are not around. I can take him to where a very strong demonic atmosphere and let him go and say what he said. You won't pick the sentence before you have that cancer. Also, he said, I have cancer. He has cancer over many years. And yeah, like, let him come. You won't finish that sentence. They just need to see his heart. Like, this is what you want. Yeah, you prefer me there, but I'm not. God's word is at work with me. You know, God's word is what I see. And God's power is what I see. That's what is real to me. In receiving miracles, you must be strong on God's word. You must take your stand. You get? You must take your stand. It's either working or it's working. How about that? It's either going to work or it's going to work. That's the way to have faith. It is not, you say it today. Yeah. But they work. You know, your faith now. Faith is, it's a win-win for me. It's either I win or I win. I was born to win. It's either it works or it works. Hallelujah. You have to be strong on your faith. There's no weak faith. You have to be strong. And there's no silent faith. Faith talks. Faith is love. If there's something you're looking to God for, it's time to quit looking to God. And put God's word in your mouth. While you're waiting on God, God is waiting on you. And it's only a talk now. I recall the vision of Brohagan. Where he had the vision. He was with Jesus in the vision. And then there was this creature. You read his book. And there was this creature that was going about. I mean, Jesus and himself were conversing. There was this creature, a demonic, and he was going about. Oh, just disturbing them. And breaking through, Jesus said, are you not going to cast out this demon? Are you going to just... And Jesus told him, I actually was waiting on you to do that. You are the one that will cast the demons. Not me. And so you are still waiting on Jesus to today. That vision is for you. You are the one that will cast out demons. These signs will follow people that believe in me. In my name they will heal the sick. They will cast out devils. How about when I go on outreach? That's when to be the strongest. When I'm going for power outreaches, I'm like a psychopath. I mean, I don't know, in the positive sense now. No emotions, just my focus on the power of God. Nothing else. I don't want to hear anything else. I don't listen to you. You are going about it. You are listening to music. Then the next track just says, to quench the spirit now. No, it's that I'm listening to messages that have to do with what I'm about to do. How can you be looking for healing and you are watching videos on YouTube of people that died of the sickness? Yet you are going against your faith. Does it make sense? When you want healing, you watch people that have been healed. You listen to testimonies on healing. You listen to messages on healing. And watch if you're not healed. If you stay long around it, to get into you. Just need to stay around it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Don't do silence. Since you're learning. Put God's word in your mouth. There's so many things to say. I'm just going to cut it there. Continue on Thursday. Accept God's word as yours. No worries. Just confidence. Confidence in what the word of God says. Don't just buy it.